Ekadasi, fasting from 25 rounds and eating more grains. No, the opposite. So, we are reading from The Dream Come True. We all have dreams in our lives, things we want to do. Someone wants to be a big movie actor or actress. That's Bollywood. Someone wants to be a big doctor or big politician or become the next Sunil Gavaskar. Everybody has dreams. The difference is that a devotee, especially a pure devotee, he directs his dream energy into pleasing Krishna, dreaming about how he can serve Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, went to America, went to the West, went to fulfill the order of his Guru Maharaj. He did so, in one sense, as a matter of duty. Duty is important. Krishna is God. Without Krishna's sanction, not a blade of grass can move. We cannot live even one more breath without Krishna's sanction. By his arrangement, the devatas are administering or giving us our karma. We die also by our karma. We live by our karma. We get whatever we deserve. But a pure devotee doesn't care for karma. He doesn't care for this material world. There's so many obstacles to any endeavor, whatever you want to do in this world. It's not easy. Nothing is easy. Everything is fraught with so many difficulties. But Krishna says, Daivihyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante. If we surrender to him, mayam etam tarantite, we can cross over all the obstacles. Yatma supersedati, ahoituki apratyata. Bhakti, which is unmotivated and is not concerned with obstacles, you can accept it as a fact. You can count on it. You can be sure. You can be more sure, more positive, that you will experience difficulty in the material world. Then you can count on the rain or the sun or the politicians fulfilling their promises. You can't count on that. But you can count on the fact that there are going to be problems in your life. 100%. So by following the process of Krishna Bhakti, by chanting the holy names, and by dreaming how to achieve the impossible for Krishna, there are no limits. So Srila Prabhupada had a dream. He planned. It's not that he went to the West without a plan. He had the order of his guru, but he also had a plan how to succeed. So we're going to hear something about his dream, and from his dream we can get inspiration. Our dreams may be small, it doesn't matter. It's not a question of quantity, but quality. Srila Prabhupada is trying to go to America. He has some idea. His first attempt was to go to Japan. That also in 1965, Japan was not the economic superpower that it has been over the last few decades. Japan was just a copy. Just like you have Ullahas Nagar Sindhi Association made in USA. Japan also had Usa, which is a city south of Tokyo. They copied everything. And it was cheap quality. But then Prabhupada couldn't go to Japan. He didn't get a ticket. Now he's trying to go to America, and it was not easy. With his passport and sponsorship papers, Bhaktivedanta Swami went to Bombay, not to sell books or raise funds for printing. He wanted a ticket for America. Again, he tried approaching Sumati Morarji. He showed his sponsorship papers to her secretary, Mr. Chokshi, who was impressed and who went to Mrs. Morarji on his behalf. So actually, Prabhupada's sponsorship papers, he had a friend in Delhi named Agarwal, naturally, and Mr. Agarwal had a son who was married to an American woman and was living in Butler, Pennsylvania. So the father told the son, send a letter of sponsorship. So the son just obediently sent the letter. He had no idea that any Indian gentleman would come and stay in his house or anything. Just like that, a few pennies for a stamp on an envelope. That's all. But Prabhupada got that letter and showed it to Mr. Chokshi, Sumati Maharaj's secretary. Sumati Maharaj, he was the head of Sindhya Steamship Company. In those days it was a big company. Now it's finished, and Sumati Ben has gone on in her spiritual life. But in those days she was a very important woman. And she was also a Vaishnavi. Prabhupada would even go to her house and preach from Srimad Bhagavatam, that also 10th canto. Because that's what she wanted to hear. She and some other ladies would listen. Prabhupada would preach. He was staying in Goragaon, Sindhya, They put him up there for a while in one of their guest rooms. Simple. So anyway, Prabhupada's got his hopes up. He wants to go to America to fulfill the order of his Guru Maharaj. His dream is to go, and so Mr. Chokshi, who was impressed, and who went to Mrs. Morarji, and on his behalf, the Swami from Vrindavan is back. Prabhupada was the Swami from Vrindavan. It's true, Prabhupada stayed in Vrindavan 11 years, and he was very much a Vrijabasi. I know there are so many Babas and Anandas and Yogis in Vrindavan nowadays, but the Vrijabasis, they've seen it all. They've seen them all. The Vrijabasis are, by birth, they're Krishna Bhaktas. They're special. So, they had a special appreciation for Srila Prabhupada. He was truly a Swami from Vrindavan. Both Gokula Vrindavan and Goloka Vrindavan. Prabhupada was also a Vaikuntha man. He came down. So, he has published his book on your donation. He has a sponsor and he wants to go to America. He wants you to send him on a Scindia ship. Mrs. Morarji said no. The Swamiji is too old to go to the United States and expect to accomplish anything. So Prabhupada at that time was about 67, 68 years old. Probably from an ordinary person's eyes, it was impossible. Definitely it was. 68-year-old man on a freighter ship to a country where he knew English, but just like many young boys and girls I meet in India, they studied English, but they don't speak it, no practice. Prabhupada was accomplished in writing, but in the 60s, okay, nowadays you find people in the big cities who speak English, but in the 60s, very few people spoke English. They spoke in their local tongue, whether it be Marathi, Gujarati, Hindi, Bengali, Telugu, whatever. Telugu Rahu. So Mrs. Morarji rightly concluded that it would be very difficult for Swamiji. As Mr. Chokshi conveyed to him Mrs. Morarji's words, Bhaktivedanta Swami listened disapprovingly. Prabhupada was not happy. She wanted him to stay in India and complete the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why go to the States? Finish the job here. But Bhaktivedanta Swami was fixed on going. He told Mr. Chokshi that he should convince Mrs. Morarji. He coached Mr. Chokshi on what he should say. Here's Prabhupada teaching. Mr. Chokshi cooperated. Nice man. So, Prabhupada, he was determined. He had a dream, and he knew it was Krishna's plan, so he was very determined. To be determined in the material world is often foolish, because you can't say. You may be determined to become the king of Bombay, bigger than anybody. the biggest industry. So many people come here with that ambition. But you have no guarantee at all. Even if you endeavor very, very hard, how will you succeed if your karma does not allow for it? But Srila Prabhupada, he knew that it was Lord Chaitanya's desire. Prithivite achejuto nagaradigram sarvatra prachor hoive morna. He knew this was the desire of Lord Chaitanya. Jare dekho, tare kaho, Krishna upadesh, amaragyay, guru hai, tare desh. You go, you teach, you preach everywhere. So he knew this, and he was confident, and he was determined. He would not take no. So he coached him what to say. I find this gentleman very inspired to go to the States and preach something to the people there. But when he told Mrs. Moarji, she again said no. The Swami was not healthy. It would be too cold there. He might not be able to come back. And she doubted whether he would be able to accomplish much there. People in America were not so cooperative, and they would probably not listen to him. So Sumati Maharaji was actually being very motherly towards Srila Prabhupada. Probably more motherly than she ever was to anybody. But she's stating the facts. Too cold. Winter time in America, very cold. Prabhupada was not accustomed to such cold. People are not cooperative. They don't accept authority just because you're a sannyasi, just because you're a representative of Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya. Who cares for you? Who are you? I know as good as you. What do you know? So, she was right, but one thing she did not understand, that just as she was going to carry Srila Prabhupada was carrying the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his heart. The actual captain of the ship was Chaitya Guru, Shyam Sundar, Sri Krishna. He was the captain of the ship, the master of Srila Prabhupada's fate. And it's a fact, I can tell you. Even if you don't have good health, even if you don't have material resources, if you desire strongly to please Krishna and you attempt anything, you will get wonderful results. If your desire is pure, if you're not after your own name, fame, and fortune, but your desire is pure to please Guru and Gauranga, no material obstacles can stop you. It can be too cold or anything. I have seen Krishna gives knowledge and Krishna gives strength. Krishna gives everything you need. Exasperated with Mr. Choksi's ineffectiveness. You know, so many things that you can do by a proxy. But one thing you can't do is preach. Prabhupada told us one time about this project. He said, we can hire people to manage the project. We can hire cooks if they're Brahmin cooks. He said, we can hire pujaris to do the worship. We could hire South Indian Brahmins to do the worship. We won't do that, but he said we could do it. But you can't hire a preacher. It doesn't work. Because the preacher is inspired by Krishna. When the preacher speaks, he's not speaking. Krishna is speaking through him. That you can't pay for. That comes from austerity. That comes from intense desire. Intense desire to be a transparent medium via media. An intense desire to save people in this material world. People are suffering. So Prabhupada had this intense desire to save. He wanted to flood the world with Krishna prema, and only by Krishna prema will people be saved. You see, the world is in utter chaos today. So much suffering and turmoil. And everything they do makes it worse, because they're all cheaters. They don't know the solution and they're trying to pretend they do. They're not interested in others. They're only interested, the bottom line is, the real thing they want is my own. I, me, and mine. Janasya mohoya maham mameti. Just like right now, probably all of you know, I don't have to tell you, there's a drought in the middle of monsoon. There's a drought, not all over India, all over Afghanistan, Pakistan. It's being caused to a greater degree, immediately, not remotely. Remotely it's a lack of Krishna consciousness, but immediately. There's a cloud in the sky. You can't see now. But it's more than 2 miles high, thick, 2 miles thick, this cloud. And the cloud is carrying so many pollutants in it, such as aerosols, what we use in shaving cream or this or that. Air conditioning uses. So many pollutants are there in this cloud, and it's advancing. Scientists have just discovered this. The United Nations Committee of Scientists, including many Indians, they have seen this cloud, and it's moving towards, it's going from Afghanistan across this region. They predict that this cloud, which is interfering with the rain, it's interfering with the ozone layer, they predict that there will be a 40% deficiency. There will be 40% less rain than we've had normally in so many years. What causes this? Ugra karma. It's caused by demoniac activities, material activities, sense gratification activities. And people do not know. They're blindly going on, led by blind leaders. Andaya tandaya upaniya manas. Why can our leaders not help us? Why can they not save us? Why can they not arrange to do the right thing so that we have healthy air to breathe? We have pure, clean water instead of acid rain. We have food grains. We have milk. We have jewels. We have everything. Why can't the leaders help us? Because they themselves are blind. They don't know. And they're trying to lead us. So Srila Prabhupada wants to help the world through his disciples and followers now. And he's also with us. So only he could convince Sumati Maharaji. He couldn't do it through Mr. Chokshi. Prabhupada demanded a personal interview. It was granted, and a gray-haired, determined Bhaktivedanta Swami presented his emphatic request, "Please give me one ticket." Sumati Maharaji was concerned. "Swamiji, you're so old. You're taking this responsibility. Do you think it is all right?" "No," he reassured her, lifting his hand as if to reassure a doubting daughter. "It is all right. Do you know what my secretaries think? They say Swamiji is going to die there." Bhaktivedanta made a face. Like that. Made a face. Ah. As if to dismiss a foolish rumor. "That's just a rumor that I will die there. I'm protected by Krishna. I've given my life to serve Krishna. I'm under Krishna's lotus feet." Krishna says, "Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati." My devotees can't be vanquished because I protect them. Nothing happens without Krishna's sanction. Rake Krishna mareke, mare Krishna rake. Prabhupada has that confidence. Again, he insisted that she give him a ticket. "All right," she said. "Get your P form and I will make an arrangement to send you by our ship." Bhaktivedanta Swami smiled brilliantly and happily left her offices, past her amazed and skeptical clerks. Everybody in the office was amazed. Prabhupada came out of her office. He had one of those oceanic smiles. I'm sure you've all seen photos of Prabhupada. Sometimes his smiles would go from here all the way over to here. Big smile. So beautiful. And he was so happy that he was getting a chance to fulfill his dream. He could see the beginning. So as he left the office, the clerks were amazed. "How did he do that? We can't even get 10 paise increase in our salary from Sumati Ben." But in one meeting, he's gotten a ticket, although how can he go? It may be good money after bad. He may die on the ship. A P form, another necessity for an Indian national who wants to leave the country, is a certificate given by the State Bank of India, certifying that the person has no excessive debts in India. Prabhupada had no debts, he had nothing. And is cleared by the banks. That would take a while to obtain. And he also did not yet have a U.S. visa. He needed to pursue these government permissions in Bombay, but he had no place to stay. So Mrs. Maharaji agreed to let him reside at Sindhya Colony, a compound of apartments for employees of the Sindhya Company. He stayed in a small unfurnished apartment with only his trunk and typewriter. You can see these things in Prabhupada's memorial upstairs. His chair, his harmonium, everything that he had while staying at Sindhya Colony. The resident Sindhi employees all knew that Mrs. Moraji was sending him to the West, and some of them became interested in his cause. They were impressed, for although he was so old, he was going abroad to preach. He was a special sadhu, a scholar. They heard from him how he was taking hundreds of copies of his books with him, but no money. He became a celebrity at Sindhya Colony. Various families brought him rice, sabji, and fruit. They brought him so much that he could not eat it all. And he mentioned this to Mr. Chokshi. Just accept it and distribute it, Mr. Chokshi advised. Bhaktivedanta Swami then began giving remnants of his food to the children. Some of the older residents gathered to hear him as he read and spoke from Srimad Bhagavatam. Mr. Vasavada, the chief cashier of Sindhya, was particularly impressed and came regularly to learn from the sadhu. Mr. Vasavada obtained copies of Bhaktivedanta Swami's books and read them in his home. Bhaktivedanta Swami's apartment shared a roofed-in veranda with Mr. Nagarajan, a Sindhya office worker, and his wife, Mrs. Nagarajan. Every time when I passed that way, he used to be writing or chanting. I would ask him, Swamiji, what are you writing? He used to sit near the window and one after another was translating the Sanskrit. He gave me two books and said, Child, if you read this book, you will understand. Child. Our Father. We would have discourses in his house, and four or five Gujarati ladies used to come. At one of these discourses, he told one lady that those who wear their hair parted on the side, that is not a good idea. Every Indian lady should have her hair parted in the center. They were very fond of listening and very keen to hear his discourse. So Srila Prabhupada never compromised. He didn't accept popular opinion. He didn't compromise with modern standards and modern trends. He always told us the truth. He always gave us the Vedic science as it is. Because by following strictly, we will become happy beyond time. Happy beyond time. People were happy 5,000 years ago. People were happy 2,000 years ago. People say they are happy today. But real happiness has nothing to do with time and circumstance. Real happiness is transcendental happiness. And that happiness can be realized by one who follows the instructions of those who are realized. Mahajano yena gata sapantaha. So, we have to decide in our lives, each and every one of us, do we want the real thing? Or do we want some cheap imitation? Do we want jewelry, diamonds? Or do we want glass? If we want diamonds, the price may be a little higher, but they're so much more beautiful. And if you want Krishna consciousness, you have to be ready to pay the price. Surrender, sincerity, following the tradition. But we don't care what's going on in the material world, how fashions are changing, this or that. Because they're not going to help us at the time of death. In fact, they're becoming colder. Their hearts are becoming colder. The material world is becoming a dry place. There's a drought everywhere in the minds and hearts of men. If you want to live in a world where every word is a song, where every gait, where every walk is a dance, if you want to live beyond time, then you have to become free from material ideas, anyavilashita shunyam, jnana karmadi anavratam. So, Srila Prabhupada, his dream is that, even now Prabhupada's dream is unfolding. His dream is that we should create an ideal society of brahmanas, and everyone will follow them, and we'll live in the spiritual world, karmana manasa gira nikilas vapi avastasu jivan muktasa ujita. Even today, even now, we can live in the spiritual world if we create a spiritual atmosphere. Right, Dhanvantri? There was a movie in America called The Sleepers. Actually, it was a very heavy movie about child abuse, but funny it had that. Every time I hear of it, I think of people who fall asleep in class. Not a good thing to do. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. God is